ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Note about pronunciation again. Bhayahari is not here. He's training the boys in the. I noticed without particularly looking for faults, but you are chanting in the morning, Chakshurin Militam. It's Unmilitam. Unmilitam, not Unmilitam. And also not Rupanuga, it's Rupanuga. So 2 points. Someone can willing you want to inform Bhayahari to get that right. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, text 44 of chapter 2. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam
Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam
Taya Pahrita Chetasam
Taya Pahrita Chetasam
Vyavasayatmika
Buddhi Vyavasayatmika
Buddhi Samadhau Navidhiyate
Samadhau Navidhiyate
Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam
Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam
Taya pahrita cetasam
Taya pahrita cetasam
Vyavasayatmika
buddhi Vyavasayatmika
buddhi Samadhau navidhiyate
Samadhau navidhiyate.
Translation: in the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Purport: Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti, says, Samyag adhiyate smin atma tattva yathatmyam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyment and bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. Bhagavad Gita is considered to be the introductory knowledge in devotional service. And in the second chapter, we have the first teachings of Krishna, the introductory teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So this is a very basic instruction that those who are attached to material enjoyment cannot attain fixity or perfection in spiritual life. It's a very basic teaching. It's an essential teaching. Just like, for instance, in this country, driving on the road is to be on the left side. So someone might learn to drive, how to drive, change the gears, release the clutch, move the steering wheel, use the brakes. They may learn everything, but if they don't learn which side of the road to drive on, it's going to be a disaster. So that's just an example to show that the basic things, they have to be in place. Otherwise, there's no question of going to higher things. It's the first thing you have to learn when you're driving. So we may learn the techniques of devotional service, but this point has to be very solidly understood. If it's not understood, then it'll be a blockage in everything else we do. It's also, although it's very basic in spiritual understanding, it's also very, very difficult to understand. Not difficult to understand intellectually or theoretically. Yeah. But it's difficult to understand because it seems to go against everything that is intuitive. Intuitive means naturally understood. Seems to be obvious that if one has material enjoyment and opulence, then one will be happy. And the whole world is running on that idea. Everyone around us is working on that idea. But if we step a little bit aside and look at the whole world, if we withdraw ourselves a little bit from the world and look and see, is anyone happy? Even those who appear to be happy or say they're happy, are they actually satisfied in the depths of their soul? Are they free from birth and death and old age and disease? The classic example is Buddhadev, who was raised in an atmosphere of total material enjoyment. King's son, heir to the throne, all facility for material enjoyment. And not just material enjoyment, everyone has material enjoyment to some extent or other. Vast material enjoyment. But then he came to understand that in this world everyone has to suffer the pangs of birth, death, old age and disease. So he stepped aside from the whole thing. He understood that living in this atmosphere of material enjoyment is not going to help me. I have to find some alternative to this, because even if I'm in the midst of tremendous material enjoyment, still I have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. It doesn't spare the king or the king's son. Everyone has to die. So this is the first thing to be understood, but it's the most difficult in the beginning. That's why most people don't take to spiritual life at all. And in a religiously oriented civilization, someone who does take to spiritual life, they are considered very special people. One reason, because they're considered close to God. Another reason, because they're voluntarily abstaining from sense enjoyment is considered to be something very great. If someone has all opportunity to enjoy this world but voluntarily abstains from it for a higher cause, especially a spiritual cause, then that is considered, such a person has very high ideals and is very self-controlled. He's a person above others. Generally we consider someone very great if they can attain some position in which they can dominate others, if they have great facility for bhoga and aishwarya, they're considered very great people. In India, at the present time, who is considered a great person. Narendra Modi, he's in a very powerful position. He doesn't seem to be much concerned with sensual enjoyment, but he's in a very powerful position. And film stars, I don't know, I have no idea in the Telugu world, in Bollywood, Shah Rukh Khan still, I think, is it still number one? Probably. He must be getting old now. Huh? 60? 50, yeah. And in your Tamil Nadu, that... what's his name? Rajnikant. He must be old. Huh? 60, but still... Rajnikant. I suppose in the movies they play the roles of people who are in a position of great bhoga and aishwarya, enjoyment and opulence. And by playing that role, they also get enough money that they can also indulge in much bhoga and aishwarya. So there are people, oh, wonderful, great people. But a greater person than such people is one who can look at all that and say, no, I don't want it. I'm not interested in that. Now, someone who has a lot of opulence and they renounce, that is considered something very great. If someone comes from a poor background and becomes a sadhu, people don't give any particular... respect for that. But if someone has much opulence and they leave all that for spiritual realization, that's considered something highly praiseworthy. And among the Jains, often the Jains are very rich people. Mostly here in South India, the Jains, they're all doing gold business, I think, isn't it? So they're all very rich people. Not the goldsmiths, they're not rich people. The gold business, they're rich people. But so sometimes a Jain, they renounce and they become a Jain sadhu. And often they're rich people and they have a ceremony. They'll ride in on some kind of chariot and they'll throw jewels and gold. They'll throw it in the public here and there. They become detached from all of that. So that's considered something very wonderful. Of course, to become a Jain sadhu, what's the point anyway? Because anyway, that's another whole topic, how Jainism is some... It rejects the Vedas, but imitates the Vedic culture and denigrates Krishna, and we don't have anything to do with that. But the term Jain, that itself comes from the idea of one who has conquered. The idea that to conquer the lower propensities. So this is the blockage by which one, even if one goes on in devotional service, one cannot make proper advancement. That example I said the other day, one is rowing the boat with great vigor for a long time, but if one doesn't untie it, if the boat is tied to a peg on the shore, then however strongly one rows for however long, the boat won't go anywhere. So this is the blockage. And we find here in India that if we ask people to chant Hare Krishna, many people may take it up. There's still enough piety for that. And even if we say that you now you stop eating meat, you only take food offered to Krishna, then people, they may take that up. But the idea that we should become detached from this material world and understand is not a place of enjoyment. That's very difficult for people to understand, because generally people think that you become religious and pious and good to get God's blessings to live happily in this world. That's why the temples, especially famous temples, they become packed. There's more than one daily train from Hyderabad to, or Secunderabad to Manmad. I went on that one of those trains once. We were going to Bittur in Karnataka. Short distance, it's about 4 or 5 hours, something like that. There's a Nrisimha temple there. Bidur. Bittur, that's Kanpur. That's the place of... Valmiki Rishi and the Lavankush. So Bidur, we're going. So I said, why is there a train to Manmad? What's Manmad? Why? I mean, you can understand there are trains to Bombay and Delhi. Why to Manmad? And they say, oh, it's near to Shirdi, Sai Baba. So many trains. People are going. Why are they going? They're not going that you make us detached from this world. Like you, he was supposed to be a fakir, some kind of renunciant. No, you give us material enjoyment. Tirupati, there are also so many, I think, four trains a day from Secunderabad or Hyderabad. Isn't it? At least it used to be four trains. One in the day and three at night. Six trains it is now. Some via Guntur and some via Kadapa. Different way you can take your choice. Through Rayalaseema or Andhra. So many trains. Huh? Yeah. Why are people going? They have faith. I'll go and pray to God and He'll give me what I want for enjoying in this world. So we can bring people to Krishna, we can encourage people, you chant, you be good, you be bad, and they say, oh, okay, very good. But if we tell them that this material existence is miserable, you have to chant Hare Krishna with the idea of getting free from all of that. Not so easy to bring people in. Dharmasya hiya pavargasya nartotaya pakalpate. Nartaya dhamaikandas kamo labhaya hismita. It's an important point, essential point, that dharma is not meant for karma. The body should be maintained not for the purpose of enjoyment, but for the sake of pursuing self-realization. So too, if we mix people's material aspirations with Krishna consciousness, then many people may like to take to it. For instance, if we tell people that, yeah, you have a good career, you have a good job, you live in good style, and you chant Hare Krishna, and your career is your devotional service. People think, oh, really? Very nice. Then we can preach to others, and they'll also say, oh, you can have a good career. You can have, oh, it's a big house, car. Actually, no one has a big house. Even these so-called middle-class people, they all have miserable pigeon holes, as Prabhupada used to call it. That's increasingly the middle-class standard, isn't it? People don't have houses. They live in apartments. And the apartments are so small, you can even they make the toilet. Just the door opens and it's just half a centimeter to touching the Western toilet. Must be a Western toilet, not an Indian toilet. So they every centimeter, because practically every centimeter is 20 lakhs or something in the big cities. But this is respectable. Yes, I have to have a car. Not a Maruti, but something better than that. If you, at least a Maruti. No one bought this Nano because it's too cheap. They say, I can't drive a Nano, that's not up to my prestige. So, this idea that yes, we'll live very comfortably and have a good career, and this is devotional service. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'll give the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing dozens of books. He was very eager to retire as soon as possible from his family. He never said, my career is my devotional service. He said that I'm doing it all as a service to you. I'm running the household only for your pleasure. But he also sometimes expressed, I'm surrounded by all this family and relatives. So it can be your devotional service in an indirect way. Hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of pure devotees, that is devotional service. Killing people can be devotional service in the case of Arjuna. Not in the case of everyone. In the case of Hanuman, it was devotional service. Building buildings can be devotional service. But it's not intrinsically and of itself devotional service. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example that so many people are building buildings and it's just maya. But if you build a building for Krishna, then that's devotional service. But it's not intrinsically and of itself, it's not central to devotional service. So unless we make it very clear that you can do this, you can do some kind of job and you can offer the results in Krishna's service, then it can be considered in a secondary way your devotional service. But if we think that, yes, encourage people, yes, the same desires that they have, material desires, and say, you retain your material desires, but just you pretend that it's offered to Krishna, when actually you're very, it may be mixed, but people are very concerned about, I should get a big position, people can see me, the other devotees will think I'm a better, if everyone's career is their devotional service, then everyone will think I've become a better devotee by getting a promotion. But to get a promotion, you have to do all kinds of office politics and work over hours like an ass. So you don't have time for devotional service anyway. You don't have time for the core activities of hearing and chanting. So to emphasize this, it can help to take people into devotional service, but it won't help them to get past that blockage, that knot in the heart, hridaya granti, of material attachment, by which they can fully depend on Krishna, fully surrender to Krishna. It's supposed to be possible for everyone in every status of life. Grihasthas, generally it's expected that they'll be more materially attached than others in other ashrams. But they have to hear regularly so as not to be attached. These farm communities are offering facilities by which everyone can be fully engaged in devotional service, even in grihastha life. Because especially in the modern age, the whole society is completely enamored by the idea of getting money, becoming prestigious. It wasn't like that previously in India, that everyone was trying to get ahead. There was nowhere to go ahead. There was no careers or any such thing. If you're born as a barber family, then you're a barber. You can't get a promotion. What are you going to do? How many people can you shave? There's only a limited number of people. And even if you shave more, it doesn't make you more of a barber. Brahmin, he's whatever, he's in the temple. What, how is he going to increase it? There's no career. There's nothing, there's nowhere to go. So people, the atmosphere was there that whatever you do it and be content. That's all. That had to be the mentality. Now people say, oh, now we're very advanced, so you can advance, you can increase your career and this and that. But what's the value? People are in anxiety, they're in competition, therefore they can't trust each other. And instead of living peacefully and contentedly and cultivating dharma, instead of thinking my career is my devotional service, no, your life is your dharma. It's all, in that sense, it's not what you do as dharma. That's swakarmana tamabhyacha. That's worship of the Lord by performing of one's work. But this demoniac competition, work hard, get more money, take a loan. That's when Krishna speaks about swakarma in Bhagavad Gita. It's not that. When do your duty doesn't mean to, it means to follow one's swakarma according to the Varnashram system. Sthane stita means you pursue your work, you remain in your position in the Varnashram system, not that you pursue some career. It's extremely rajasic, this idea, and I will get ahead, I will do more. This much I got today, by my own endeavor. So this whole idea, let us enjoy this material world and enjoy Krishna consciousness. Then the whole idea of Krishna consciousness means some idea, let us enjoy it, instead of let us do everything for Krishna's pleasure. That should be the motive in everything. Everything for Krishna's pleasure. Now, generally, after I give this kind of talk, which I give fairly often, someone will come up, what about sarva karma? Akama sarva karma va moksha karma udaridhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is desireless, full of desires, or one desires liberation, one should intensely worship the Supreme Lord. Yep, that's a fact. If whatever situation is, one should take to devotional service seriously. But if you do take to devotional service seriously, even if you're full of material desires, you're going to have to hear things like that and change your attitude, because you can't properly worship Krishna if one is full of material desires. In other words, one may be full of material desires, but if one takes the Krishna consciousness seriously, then we're gonna get purged of those material desires. It doesn't mean that you retain all kinds of material desires and be a devotee at the same time, because it doesn't work. It doesn't happen. It's not possible. Krishna bhakta nishkam. A devotee of Krishna doesn't have material desires. Now, of course, we're in this material world and we do have material desires. But taking to Krishna consciousness means to surrender to Krishna and to not cultivate material desires. We should cultivate a sense of servitude to Krishna. But if we cultivate material desires, then samadho na vidhiyate, we're not going to come to the perfection. So if someone takes to Krishna consciousness, Krishna may arrange for him that his material desires are taken away by force, by someone may lose their wealth, if just overnight they may lose it, or they may lose their family members, or they may lose their eyesight, or some drastic action may happen by Krishna's grace, by which they become shocked and they surrender to Krishna. Or Krishna may not, and they may go on life after life in some kind of semi-Krishna consciousness. So better to understand from the beginning the fact that this material world is not a place of our enjoyment, and the endeavor to enjoy this material world is simply going to cause us suffering. Therefore, if we're interested in our own happiness, you say, well, why shouldn't I be interested in my own happiness? I should get money and enjoy myself. If you're interested in your own happiness, don't try to enjoy this world. That's a beginning. And then on top of that, then worship Krishna. The point is to worship Krishna, not just to become detached from this world. But as long as we're cultivating desires for material enjoyment, then we can't properly advance in Krishna consciousness. There's so much shastric statements about this. Bhukti, mukti, spriha, yavat, pishachi, hridi, vartate. Katamba, what's the next line? Hridi, vartate. Bhakti, sukhasya, tra. Katam, bhakti, sukhasya, tra. Then I said the last line, now I forgot again. Katam bhakti sukhasyatra. Katam abhyudayobhavet. Sorry, I forgot the last two lines. That, this is Rupa Goswami actually. He's saying that as long as the witch-like desires for material enjoyment or material renunciation or liberation remain within the heart, then, where is the question of the bliss of Krishna consciousness? It's not possible. It's not going to happen. So these are ABCs. We should be very careful in our preaching to let people know these things. It may be that not so many people will come, but we'll get better people, sincere people. Sincere means they have a desire to. Their desire to serve Krishna is stronger than their desire to enjoy this material world. Of course, in the beginning, we may tell people, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Just add Krishna to your life. It may be very mild in the beginning, but soon after people come into Krishna consciousness, we have to teach them the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, which begin with understanding that we're not this body. Everything that takes place in relation to this body is ephemeral, comes and goes. Agama payana anitya. Everything in this material experience, it comes and goes. It's temporary. And that the attempt to enjoy this, it's not going to work. First of all, we're not going to be happy. It entangles us in material life and it blocks spiritual understanding. So that we can be doing all the things that devotees do. Just like there are so many Vishnu temples all over India. So many people go to the temple. They come back. But they don't make any progress in devotional life because they don't have a proper guided program of spiritual advancement. They don't even have the idea that we should be making spiritual advancement. They go to the temple and they pray, give me this, give me that, and they come out. So these are heavy facts. They're too heavy for most people to, they don't want to hear it. And generally people, they do things that they want to do. Of course, a lot of time they spend working, which they don't want to do. But voluntary activities, they have to want to do it. Just like people may go to watch a cricket game because they want to do it. They go to a movie, cinema house, because they want to do it. So who's going to come to listen to a talk about Bhagavad Gita? They have to want to do it. But if we tell them, you're a fool, you're a rascal, your life is misguided, Who wants to hear that? No one wants to hear it. So if we tell them that actually you're all very wonderful and you chant Hare Krishna and your life in this world will become better and you can earn more money and you can join our group, and we're all highly qualified, and it'll help your career, and even if you lose your job, we'll help you to get another job. And in this way, you think, oh, there's something good for me here. But they're thinking in material terms. They think Krishna consciousness is something to help them in their material existence. I like to go to the temple on Sunday because I like to chant Hare Krishna. I get some relief from all the stress. And then on Monday I can go back to work with more vigor and face all the problems. So Krishna consciousness is very good. Helps me to control the stress. I used to have a BP problem. Since I started chanting Hare Krishna, my BP's down a lot. So it's really good. People say, really? Oh, I've got BP too. Maybe I should chant Hare Krishna also. Oh, yeah, it's great. And all our career is advancing. It means we're doing our devotional service. Krishna's blessing us. Samadho na vidhiyate. Fixed consciousness, fixed in Krishna, won't take place. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please?
When we speak of Varnashram society, where we envision the greater numbers, a large number of people in the society participating in our program, would we have to encourage them in manners that are not
details about establishing Varnashram? Would we have to encourage them in?
Worshipping Krishna.
Encourage them in worshipping Krishna, of course. Otherwise, what's the point? Varnashram without Krishna consciousness is asuric. Anything without Krishna consciousness is asuric. Our aim is not to establish Varnashram just for its own sake, just to facilitate people's advancement in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's useless. Shrama eva hi kevalam.
But to attain material desires.
To attain material desires, we tell people that keep your material desires to the minimum. Be satisfied with living, food, clothing, shelter. If someone's a Vaishya, they may have a spirit to make more money, but then the idea is that they produce for the sake of sharing it within the community. Vaishnava Vaishyas, they may make money, but then the idea is to make money and use it for Krishna consciousness, not that you just simply become a complete materialist. In Krishna consciousness, Vaishya may be a rich man. We don't say to everyone who's a rich man that you become a poor man. But you should spend for Krishna, for Krishna consciousness. If there's opulence also, very good. In a society, if it's opulent, like Krishna's Dwaraka, that can be there also. But don't forget Krishna. And don't think that the opulence is in and of itself the goal. But our first aim and object is to put Krishna in the center. Live simply, in contradistinction to the modern insane society where people are living such a horrible life, and it's just a big hoax. The idea that if you get a house which has hot water in the pipes and air conditioning, and then that's comfortable living. And that's somehow the idea is given. If you get a little box which has air conditioning and hot water for the winter, and that's, this is high class. Miserable life. But somehow that's good. Well, that's better than living in the slum. Actually, in the slums now, they're also beginning to get air conditioning in Bombay. Everything is there. It's just except that they have to share one toilet with 20 families or something like that. But there's this idea that this is comfortable. It's not comfortable at all. Here we have open air, fresh air. People say, oh, you see, it's very good. They have a park for the children to play in. Some little park is 100 square feet or something like that. Here there's a whole Telangana. How far do you want to go? The kids can play. Plenty of space, plenty of it. In the city, you hear, you can hear the birds chirping. In the city, the only birds are caw, caw, crows. There used to be sparrows, now there are no more sparrows left. They all went back to Godhead. Something happened, we don't know what happened to them. Here we have morning and evening, everyone's chanting, singing happily. Do you see such a thing in the city? They have this barat, the wedding parade, and then they all get intoxicated and they sing. But every morning, anyway, it's just stoked up by alcohol. But here people are singing and dancing so happily, daily. Better life. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, who kindly gave us this lifestyle to live. You have another question? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
In the living in the city, we have material desires.
In the city, we have material desires. In the village, we have material desires.
After coming to farm, we should engage fully in devotional service.
Yeah, coming to the farm means to engage fully in devotional service. Material desires are in the heart, but the lifestyle we have here enables us to be fully engaged in Krishna's service with Krishna's devotees. So it's the whole atmosphere here is meant for cultivating Krishna consciousness, whereas the whole atmosphere in the city is meant for cultivating material consciousness. So it's a much more favorable situation. There are so many initiated devotees living in the cities, like Hyderabad. There must be several thousand initiated by ISKCON gurus now. But for most of them, Krishna consciousness means they go to the temple once a week on Sunday. And during the week, most of them, they hardly anyone's getting up by 4 o'clock. I would think significantly less than 5% are getting up by 4 o'clock. I'm talking about initiated devotees. How many are chanting 16 rounds? I don't know. How many are watching? I would guess that significantly more than 50% are watching TV regularly. So where's the actual spiritual advancement? And what's the meaning of being initiated? So this is giving the opportunity here to be full time in Krishna consciousness. You have a question? Yeah.
One devotee who has donated for temple construction in the colony, and he has been given the responsibility to run the temple, and
which colony?
The Singapore one.
Uh-huh.
He is telling everybody that see, Krishna has empowered me. You people are not empowered. Whatever you do will be a failure. Whatever I do will be a success. That shows very clearly that Krishna has empowered me. You people will not be successful at all. This is what he is telling everybody. So
telling who? In the colony?
Yeah, telling the other devotees. So why he gets the idea that Krishna is empowering him, whereas Krishna is not empowering us, that nothing will happen properly.
I can't imagine who you're talking about. Obviously. Yes. I don't know. You can do a psychological analysis if you want. Different people have different ideas. Maya works in so many strange ways. Some people have a very strong desire to be recognized. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Still another question. Is it? Okay.
And required even who is leaving the village, they should come to Vrindavan community.
You're living in the village. Which village? Goraipali? Nowadays in the village it's the same atmosphere as the city, practically. Everyone's interested in money, TVs, smartphone. Everyone is taking loans. Fashion clothing. Yeah, everyone send their children to the universities. Anyway, you can come here. That's a good facility for you. You can come here regularly and preach to the people that why are you in Maya? No, everyone doesn't have to come. It's definitely the best alternative, but at the same time you recognize that not everyone can come immediately. If you can come, that's good. But whatever you do, you imbibe this mentality. Doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. In the village also. If you send the daughters to the college, then they'll become prostitutes. Practically, they're all having sex, all the girls in the college. And the boys, of course, otherwise who are they having sex with? And if you don't make them into a prostitute, no one wants to marry them. What's the alternative? Better keep them pure, and then you find someone with higher values. It may be more difficult to find a husband. Devotees also want it. My wife should be educated, they should go to work. Useless people. They're devotees, but they have materialistic values. Then how are they? That's the one. Then what is this? How are they devotees? Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam. What's the meaning of their being a devotee? So we have, you can see, we have our devotees there arranging marriages and this and that. So you can see, I don't know exactly who's doing that, but you can find out. Hare Krishna.